Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Welcome back to our live show this evening. I am James Edwards. I'm your host, and you are neck deep in the political cesspool this Saturday evening, November 7th, 2009. We are now officially in what is our sixth year of broadcasting this award-winning show. Thank you for tuning in tonight on the political cesspool. We are broadcasting from Nashville, Tennessee tonight, from a hotel room. Modern technology allows us to do that. And we're doing so on the road tonight, although we are still being broadcast at home on our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. We are broadcasting over the Liberty News Radio Network and their affiliate stations from coast to coast. We're going out via satellite and internet as well. Thank you for tuning in to the Political Cesspool tonight. And I think our next guest is actually at my hotel room door. We are going to have to work this out logistically speaking here. We'll probably have to do that during the next commercial break. But want to share with you a story. Now, this is pretty disturbing. This is, again, the manifestation of political correctness in our society and how far we have fallen. Mass murder in Mayberry. Mass murder in Mayberry, the iconic town. Ladies and gentlemen, just hang on one second. We have our guest, Mr. Ron Quintana, Mr. Ron Garcia Quintana, in the room right now.
I can't get through.
Oh, he's saying that the line is busy calling into the Liberty News Radio Network, and he is trying to dial in. So, well, that ain't going to work. Let's see. It shouldn't be busy. We're it's a logistical nightmare this evening. We're not in our regular studio, so I can't converse with our board op this evening. Yeah, so we're going to have Mr. Garcia. At least you got to hear what he's got to say, because he's going to tell us how we can win elections. We've been talking tonight. We were talking in the last hour with Gordon Bob about how to apply ourselves in advocacy organizations like the council. But the surest way to political power is to run and win in your own election. You know, forget the influencing the politicians. Become the politician yourself. And that's what this man can teach us. Yeah, try again to call in on that line. If it doesn't work, we'll work something. We'll just 1-866-986-NEWS. So we're going to try to get him on. He's going to go and call in again. He's a warrior. He's going to come in and tell us, if we can get him on the line, how we can win elections, become the politician yourself. And you can do it, especially on the local levels, and that's what we're going to focus on as we wait for him to call in. If not, I'll just pass the phone receiver back and forth. We'll do this any way we have to get the job done tonight in the political cesspool. What I was saying about Mayberry, that was the iconic fictional town that the Andy Griffith show took place in. It's based off the real town, Mount Airy, North Carolina. That's the town in which the fictional Mayberry was based. It has changed over the years. It used to be a mostly white town. Now it's heavily Mexican, and I guess we can thank several people for that, not the least of which being people like Obama, Clinton, both Bushes, so on and so forth. But just like on the television version where Sheriff Taylor and Barney's biggest problem were Otis the town drunk, it used to have very little crime, but a Mexican just shot and killed four people there. And again, you can be sure to thank Bill Clinton, George Bush, and both parties for making small town North Carolina so much more vibrant. Here's the story out of Mount Airy, North Carolina, a.k.a. Mayberry. Police arrested a convicted kidnapper early Monday in the fatal shooting of four men in the town that inspired the idyllic community of Mayberry in the 1960s TV series The Andy Griffith Show. Marco Chavez Gonzalez was charged with four counts of murder in the slayings late Sunday outside Woods TV in Mount Airy, about 100 miles north of Charlotte, which is a beautiful city. That's what the police said. The town, a population of 8,700, is the hometown of Andy Griffith and has built a tourist trade on nostalgia for the show that continues to thrive in syndication. There were four, the four people there were shot in the shadow of a water tower that says "Welcome to Mount Airy" and has a picture of Griffith and Opie, his son, on the show. Now, we're talking to the right guy tonight. As soon as we get on, Mr. Garcia Quintana, he knows the mayor of Mount Airy, North Carolina, if you can believe it. How uncanny is that? So what changed? What changed from the real Mount Airy, from the fictional Mayberry? And it was diversity and immigration. And so once again, we find that one of the political cesspools sayings is ringing true. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. So it's going to get us everywhere. You expect it in the big urban areas, but you don't necessarily expect it in Mayberry. But there are no vestiges of American society where political correctness will pass you over. It's like the plague. It's going to get you no matter where you go. You can't run from it. You can't run far enough from it. It's going to find you. And we have got to do something to rectify these trends. We've got to join organizations that are fighting for our people. We've got to support radio programs and media broadcast entities that are telling you the truth. And obviously the Liberty News Radio is at the forefront of this battle. Our radio program is. Organizations like the CFCC is. Come on, we can do better than this, people. We can do better than what we're doing. We don't always have to lose. I think, you know, dating back to the war between the states, we have this mindset that we're just destined to defeat. And certainly we've suffered a great deal of defeat. But, the future is still unwritten. We don't have to lose everything. We can win. I think we almost go out expecting to lose inherently. But loss and defeat is not a foregone conclusion. We'll make the future that which we want it to be. And if we organize and come together, then our future victory could be right around the corner. I mean, we still are a majority. European Americans are still a vast majority of this country. Now, we're not the 95% that we used to be. We're not the 100% that we used to be, if you want to go back far enough. But, you know, still 70% of this nation is European American, and that's not to say they're all conservative. But even so, a vast majority of that 70%, I would say, fundamentally agree with us on a great number of issues. And if organized as a united force, we can turn the rudder in this country, and that's what this program is trying to do. You'll never be able to get all of the people who agree with you on an issue to come and fight with you. I mean, God knows that. We all know that. We can't get 10 people to come together for dinner but at the present state. But if you can just get a small percentage of that, I mean, how many, what was the percentage of the people who fought for the American cause during the Revolution back in the 1770s? Very few. We don't have to have everyone. We just need to have, as Jefferson said, that tireless minority keen to setting brush fire. And that's what we're beginning to have. The Council of Conservative Citizens has thousands of members from coast to coast who are united. And we're growing. This radio program continues to grow in terms of popularity and size of audience. And we will continue to grow because the truth sells itself. And that's what we're trying to do on this show, is to get the truth out to you on any issue. We cover all the issues of the political spectrum on this radio program, and we do it with some of the biggest guests in the movement. Pat Buchanan has been on this show a couple of times. You look at our guest list, and it reads like the who's who of the leadership of the constitutionalist cause. And we've got so many great people out there that we call our friends, people who really produce results, people like Joe McCutcheon out there in Arkansas. I mean, we have the names you know and the names you should know on this show. We have very big guests, elected officials, authors, representatives, entertainers, but we also have activists on. We showcase talent and leadership that doesn't have another voice. And we do it all for one reason and one reason alone, and that's to leave this country a better place than the one we inherited it. And I think every generation says that, but we have lost so much. We really aren't fit to carry the water buckets of our Confederate ancestors right now. I mean, going out and voting Republican twice a decade, we think, you know, Davy Crockett, you know, doesn't have anything on us because we went and voted, you know, for George Bush in 2000 or in 2004. I mean, that's not, going out and voting for a Republican candidate twice a decade during the general election, that's not doing your duty as an American. That's not doing your duty as a conservative. You've got to do more than that. You've got to join up. You've got to speak out. You got to follow our example. You got to follow the example of our next guest. We're going to have him on right after. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I tell you, it's the fastest 3 hours of my week every week when we're here on the Political Cesspool, broadcasting live every Saturday night. Over the Liberty News Radio Network, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, of course, through syndication and through the different affiliates that carry us. In Memphis, for instance, on 1380, we're on 7 days
good.
A week. They play replays. And we're happy about that. Saturation coverage in the home base there in Western Tennessee.
I can hear him.
Now, I'm really
barely.
Excited about our next guest. Technical issues have apparently been worked through. Ron Garcia Quintana. This is a gentleman who, almost a year ago to the day, made his debut appearance on this radio program, and now, a year later, he is making his encore appearance. He is a guy who is a proven winner, and I'm going to let him, for a change, introduce himself. This is a guy with credentials that would stretch the rest of the program just to read them all, but Ron, talk a little bit about your involvement in politics.
Well, you know, as you know, I'm a political refugee. Thanks to the American CIA, who gave us Fidel Castro, we had to get the hell out of there. Excuse me for using that phrase, but that's the best way to do it. And we came to the United States, but I grew up in Savannah, Georgia. I went from Havana to Savannah, and I'm very proud to have gone there because the South is very similar to the culture that I grew up with. We were very close. Cuba was very involved in Southern culture, and during the War of Northern Aggression, we were the Cuban government helped the Confederate States of America, and there were a lot of Cuban patriots out of Tampa that fought in the war. Am I coming clear? Because I can barely hear you.
No, you're actually coming in remarkably clear tonight for the makeshift program that we're having, logistically speaking. So I can hear you fine if you don't mind just straining your ear a little bit to hear me. I had to do that earlier with Gordon. I guess the tables have turned now, and I can hear you well, and you're not being able
okay.
to hear me. But nevertheless, we'll do the best we can with the cards we've been dealt this evening. But
since I came to this nation, and I call it a nation, not a country, because our states make up the United States. It's not a the country doesn't make up the state, and I want people to understand that. But since I was a little boy, I've been preaching to adults how they take our nation for granted and the freedoms that we have and the republic that we have. My background, I worked for President Reagan for 5 years. My background's in mathematics. I have a bachelor's degree in mathematics from Armstrong's University, and a master's degree in mathematics from University of South Carolina. And I had to decide whether to finish my dissertation for my doctorate or go work for Ronald Reagan, and that was not a no-brainer. I went to work for Ronald Reagan, who I believe is the best president that we've had in this century. A lot of people might come out with some negative points of him, but we need to understand that when you get up there, there's some rules that even the president has to abide by, and they're told how to behave and who to take on. And you know, Reagan and Bush were not friends, and yet he had to take him as his vice president. So that's a skinny version. I am the executive director of a group called Americans Have Had Enough. My website is AmericansHaveHadEnough.org, which I think represents the sentiment of America today. But Americans need to wake up. They need to wake up because
become more organized. And I was telling you at lunch, Ron, that we had the opportunity to have lunch together here at the Applebee's. And
yes.
I was saying, if we could encapsulate that conversation that we had and put it in a
yes.
in a jug and then replay it tonight on the program, that would make for one hell of a show. But I can't remember everything that we covered there. Do
you? Well, we need to remember, James, that the American Revolution, there was a small percentage of people who made it happen. So we don't have to have 51, 50, 60, 70% of the people. It was more like 5 or 10% of the people who decided, hey, we're going to stand up to King George.
Yeah, I made that very point not 15 minutes ago. You're absolutely right.
Oh, how about that?
We're
like-minded things alike.
We're going to talk more about how people can stand up and speak out in the next segment. We've got a commercial break coming up in a couple of minutes, but this is something where you have just an incredible amount of experience, Ron, in what you do currently, professionally speaking, in terms of your political polling and working in campaigns and where you think we should run candidates. And it's not for necessarily the United States Senate. You want to talk about getting involved on the local levels and having an impact in the different states. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to save that conversation for the next segment. But you mentioned Reagan. You've worked also with some other pretty big names in American politics, have you not?
Yes, I have. Lee Atwater, who was the brains behind the Southeast and the Southern strategy, along with the late Senator Strom Thurmond, who ran as a Dixiecrat for president. And we did about 22 campaigns together, Lee Atwater and I. And I was his public opinion pollster, but when I came back from Washington, I expanded my horizon and learned to do the entire, pretty much an entire campaign, except the fundraising part. I'm not good at that, but that's all right. It's how to organize and how to send a message, how to do a radio ad, how to do a television commercial, and how to send a message, and how to organize. The organization is the thing. If people don't need a lot of money, if they're willing to work, especially for local elections, we need to put Washington aside for a while and worry about our own turf, because the closest we are to the elected officials, the more they will listen.
Well, and it's important to work hard. That's certainly a very good quality to have, to be a hard worker, but it's even more important to be able to work efficiently. And I think that's something
yes.
that you're going to give us a little
insight
on.
Well, work smart. We say, you can work hard and not work smart, and you don't get anything accomplished. But when you work, and that's what you're addressing, working smart.
That's right. And we're also going to impress upon the listening audience that you can be whatever you want to be. What one man can do, another can do. Maybe running for office is something you should consider. And that's what this show is all about. We want to lead people in the right direction to where they can leave their fingerprints, make a lasting impression, become leaders. And if we can play a small role in that development, then we've, I think, served our purpose here as a radio and media entity. But we are going to talk more about that and learn more about that from a man who has lived it, Ron Garcia Quintana. He is our second featured guest this evening, and we're going to be with him for the remainder of the program tonight. He's going to be telling us what we can do to run and win local elections. He is the executive director of Americans Have Had Enough. Check him out on the web at AmericansHaveHadEnough.org. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this program bringing you the best and the brightest minds that the American paleoconservative movement has to offer. Ron Garcia Quintana has worked with the names you know. We talk about the names you know and the names you should. He's worked with the names you know and the names you should. Strom Thurmond, Lee Atwater, Ronald Reagan, among them. This is a man very credentialed, And he's going to allow us to pick his brain. And I, you know, it's an interesting segment for me because I wish I had known Mr. Garcia Quintana 7 years ago when I ran.
Well, you would be an elected official by now if we had met then.
Yeah, I think I've shot myself in the foot one too many times. In fact, I'm an amputee, politically speaking, after doing this show for so long. But, you know, we all play our role. But I did run for the State House of Representatives back in 2002. I wish I'd have known you then. We're going to talk more about it right after this. Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting started with this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry.
With you, joined by Ron Garcia Quintana. He is a campaign strategist, a political pollster. He has worked with some of the biggest names in American politics, from Strom Thurmond to Ronald Reagan, and has worked with them quite intimately. And what we're on, what we're having him on to talk to us about tonight is political activism at its purest form. If you want to go all the way up to the absolute zenith, the apex, the pinnacle of political activism, that is offering yourself up for a candidate and running for office. Not just running, though, mind you, but winning. That's where, I mean, what good does it do to run and not win, right? We want you to win. We want you to win because then you don't have to worry about forming an organization and lobbying the representative. You will be that man. And it seems as though, Ron, that everybody wants to run for president. They think if we don't elect the president, nothing else matters, when in fact the exact opposite is true. Winning a presidential election is a fool's errand.
Well, follow the money. Who's in charge of the money? It's not the president. It's Congress. It's the House, actually. And the House runs every 2 years, so, you know, but you know, forget Washington. Forget Washington. Look at your local leaders, because, you know, when they go to your state capital, they sell out just as much. The Chamber of Commerce and big groups like that who are controlling our candidates or elected officials, you know, because they get scared. What happens is they lose touch with the people. And then the Chamber of Commerce and people like the Farm Bureau, the State Farm Bureaus, they're the ones that can you know, raise $50,000 just by just snapping their fingers. Talk about a Ponzi scheme, that's a lobbyist Ponzi scheme.
That's right. You're exactly right. But, you know, running and winning local elections is not only easier, but perhaps more effective in the long run for our cause. And I know, obviously, you have had experience, quite a bit of it, working on some of the more high-profile national campaigns, working with Reagan, so on and so forth. But you are also available to consult on these local races. Now, people listening to the show might think, well, running for office, that's something that you have to be an expert to do. You have to be born with a political spoon in your mouth. You have to have this. You have to have that. It's unfathomable for me, just a regular working-class guy, to run for office and have a chance at winning. But is that the reality of it, Ron?
No, the reality of it for state office, you know, when you run in a primary, I'm not talking about November, when you run in a primary, there are many people out there winning with only getting 500, 600 votes. You're talking about 10% turnout of the registered voters. So if people are willing to go door to door and get their registered voters list, which is available through either their state election commission or the state Republican Party, whichever you want to trust most. And then you just wind down and start with your core people, and then just try to meet as many people as you want. And you know, I tell my candidates that hire me, I say the first thing you want to do is ask the average citizen, Joe Citizen, I say, who is your representative? And I guarantee you, 99% of, unfortunately, of most people will not know who their local state representative is or state senator. I'm not talking about U.S. senator. I'm talking about the state senator. And the thing about it is, you know, we're having these people get elected with less than 1,000 votes. And sometimes they win the election over a challenger that doesn't know a lot of the ins and outs of running a campaign, because a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just run and put my name down and just do this and that, you know, and they lose by 100, 200 votes. Well, my gosh, that's not a lot. And you can make that up. If you lose in 2008, come back in 2010 and find out what happened. Analyze your vote. I mean, state representative districts are very small. And the turnout, all they have to look is at, and you can get these statistics from your state election commission. What happened last time? Who got challenged? Well, if nobody challenged, and that's the problem, people get intimidated and they don't challenge incumbents. But there, you know, you got, if you live in a very Christian community, then you work through your churches and you try to get people energized, because after all, what we're doing and how this nation was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. So it's okay to use churches. I mean, the blacks do it all the time. It's sad to tell, and I challenge anybody to debate me on this. I said, but the Democrats for years and years and years go around handing money to black preachers, and then they will deliver their congregation to the Democrat candidate. That is no lie.
You got that is right. No lie. They'll make sure they rob the church bus and everything else to get to the precincts to vote. But
it's a sad telling, and people are afraid to lose their 501c3. Well, now the IRS may go after white churches as opposed to black churches, but you know, they did bust Jesse Jackson for using federal money in his grants for the coalition, the Rainbow Coalition that he has. Finally, they finally busted him. I think it was in the 2006 election. And fining several million dollars because he was, you know, using federal money to politic with, and you're not supposed to do that.
Well, obviously there are certain rules that you got to follow as a candidate, and there are certain procedures. But getting on the ballot is very easy, particularly in these state house races. I remember when I ran back in 2002. Now that I was a naive 21-year-old running in the general election, doing everything wrong as an independent, and challenged the Speaker of the House. Yeah. And still got a respectable 25% of the vote, and this was before the political.
That's commendable against the big guy.
Yeah, I mean, this was something. But I went. I mean, I tell you, I wore out so many pairs of shoes. I had knocked on every door of the district, it seems, twice. But the thing is, it's easy to get on the ballot now. Doing things the right way, like I said, Ron, I wish I'd have met you. But you know, getting on the ballot's easy. Running and winning is a different thing, but it's not unfathomable. And Ron, I want you to speak to your track record. Now, me on one hand. Look, I've been voting in every election since I was 18 years old, every election that comes by, every 2 years. And if there's any special things on the ballot, I'll go out and vote. I'll be 30 next year, and I've never voted for anyone who's won. But you not only vote for people who win, Roan, you manage them. You recently had 7 candidates on the ballot. How did you fare?
Well, I did 5-2. I lost 2 and won 5. And the 2 I lost really were people who we're not doing what I was telling them to do. I mean, you know, you need to trust your consultant, whoever that person is, and you need to have a campaign manager that the consultant can call every day and say, hey, the candidate needs to do A, B, C, D, and then you get back with them that night or the next day and say, well, we were able to do A, B, C, but not D. And, I mean, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a lot of work and networking. So for all of those of you who are listening out there, and you might have know somebody, and we need to start recruiting like-minded folks, and because we, you know, we can get this nation back, and we can do this county by county, state by state. But you need to follow the protocol. It's just like following a recipe for baking a cake. You know, if you miss one ingredient, it ain't going to turn out right. So you know, there's not a lot of that, but it just takes a lot of work and dedication and total commitment and that fire in your belly. You gotta want it. If you want it, you'll get it because you'll work it. But,
well,
you know,
I think we need to be showcasing more of on this program. We need to have more messages, and I'm saying this to myself as much to the audience, because I'm guilty of this. You know, there's so much out there that is disheartening. But we need to have more encouraging and positive, uplifting segments like the one we're having right now, segments that will instill hope that we can be victorious in things, because let's face it, we can be. You have been victorious, Ron, in a great number of elections, running candidates whose beliefs mirror that of our own. And we're going to talk more about your experience as a pollster and how that comes into play during the course of a candidacy. But I want to ask you this. What are the successful ingredients of a winning campaign? What does a candidate need to be able to do in order to win? And above and beyond having, you know, an infinite amount of money, which most of our people...
Well, you know, a lot of people blow off polling, public opinion survey. But let me tell you, unless you are out there in the community and you know the community, and let's say you're talking about a house district, which tends to state house district, which are small, you know, it's very hard to reach out to everybody. But there's some communities where the square area is, you may have a lot of concentration. Those are the easy ones because you can walk them, neighborhoods. As long as they're not gated communities, you can walk them. But if you don't have a way to get the pulse of the people, for goodness sake, hire a good pollster, public opinion survey, because a good one, you know, will...
Sorry about that, Ron. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Now come to the final segment of tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, and then another live installment will be in the books. You're talking about victory. Every time we do this program, it is a victory for our people because we are able to be joined by the very best that this movement has to offer. And there is so much talent out there that is fighting to put America first, and one of those people, obviously our guest this evening, Ron Garcia Quintana, political strategist, pollster, campaign manager du jour. He's talking about running and winning local elections and how relatively easy it can be done if you do it the right way. Ron, I know we ran right into that last commercial break without much of a heads up. You were in the middle of a thought.
Yeah, we were talking about polling and the importance of it. I said usually a campaign starts with what we call a benchmark poll, which finds out what the issues are, what people have the issues are. But you got to construct the questions right, and you know the poll is just as good as you make it, you know. And but you want to make good, you know, for your candidate, a consultant wants to make it as good so he can get solid information about what the pulse of the people are. And then you know there are two things to that. And then while you know, once you find that out, then you start organizing precinct levels. You know, a house seat, a state house seat, doesn't have that many precincts. So you start out with organizing precinct by precinct. And then, you know, if you're a Republican, which most of our, that's the only hope we have. We don't forget the Democratic Party. However, I must correct myself on that, because in the South, some of the, you know, I'll take a Southern Democrat many times over a Northeastern Republican. So, but be that as it may, whatever party you decide to run, you have to organize precinct by precinct, get people in there to find, let's say, five people. You get five people to find five people, that's 25 people. You get five more, that's 125, and et cetera, et cetera. And you can see the magnitude. Real quickly, you will have thousands of people. Now, again, I will remind the public that in a primary, not that many people turn out. You're lucky to get 10% of the registered voters. And when I say registered voters, we need to remember that many Americans are not registered and they don't vote. So let's assume that let's be optimistic and say that 60% of Americans are registered, which is not that high, but in many states it's a lot less than that. But the key thing is you're talking about 50% are registered. You're talking about 10% of that, of those register. And that's what turns out. In primaries, a lot of people are too busy. They're usually in the summer, and they're taking vacations, and they don't pay attention. And then all of a sudden you get a left-wing person who has a disdain for our American foundation, and then they start saying, how did that happen? And my answer, where were you? You know, did you vote? I know a lot of people who haven't voted since 1970, and people need to realize that in some states, if you don't vote, if you skip two election cycles, they immediately drop you off the roll, so you're not registered. You might think you might be registered because you may have voted 10 years ago, but you're not. And then when you try to go vote, they'll challenge you. And so you need to re-register. But I would submit to you, if anybody out there in the audience who finds somebody or decides, well, I can do this, I'm going to run, and like I said, they can call me at 864-918-4852, and I will give them, you know, just basic campaigning 101. And just making sure that they don't make any assumptions about anything. If you work smart and you work hard, you will be elected, because what happens is these incumbents, once they get to their state capital, they forget. They stop listening to their folks and to their constituents. And then what happens is the lobbyists become their constituents, and the lobbyists give them plenty of money. And they sell out. I don't care how good they are. They sell out. So our goal is to replace everybody, because if they are good, if you think they're good, then they're not effective, because look at what is happening in our nation. You know, we're just decaying. Excuse me?
No, I was just saying, you're absolutely right, and you've been so thorough. You're such a pro that you answered in that commentary the last couple of questions I had for you. But I do want to reiterate this. One of the primary reasons you're on this program tonight is that people can run and win for these offices. They can run for these offices and win their respective elections. And one of the questions I was going to ask you, you already went into it and answered it for me, was that let's just say we've got someone out there who is listening to you this evening, and they're saying, you know what, next year it's already obviously too late to get on the ballot for this November. I mean, the elections have already happened. But next year, you know, 2010 is a big, big year, and I think there's going to be a lot of discontent out there for the policies of Obama, and that'll trickle down all the way down to the local election. So let's just say we got someone out there. God knows there's no shortage of neoconservatives or liberals on these ballots. But let's say we got someone out there, a political cesspool listener. These are the kinds of people we want running. Good America First conservative types. Let's just say they're listening to this show and they say, you know what, this guy's influencing me. What you're saying, Roan, is powerful. I want to run. You're saying that you would be there available to perhaps guide or at least get them put into the right direction as they launch their odyssey.
I would love to do that, because, you know, I have no personal gain in this except if the future of our nation, and more important, the future of, you know, the South is still the only bastion of our society where there's decency. People say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and we need to preserve that. We're it. We're the last hope for the rest of the nation. Now, there may be some Midwestern states that are very similar to us, but nobody's as genuine as Southern people.
No, you can't beat the South. I will agree with you on that, my friend, as long as the day is. I want to remind everyone that the guest we have on tonight, the talent, Roan Garcia-Quintana, his website is AmericansHaveHadEnough.org, www.AmericansHaveHadEnough.org. If you are interested in becoming a candidate or at least wanting more information about what it might take for you to run and win an election, go to that website, AmericansHaveHadEnough.org, and send him an email Last question, Rome, because we only have about 2 minutes left in the program this evening. You know, there are a lot of things you can do and win on a budget, but at the same time, there is a little bit of truth to the old adage that money is the mother's milk of politics. We've got about a year to the next general election. The primaries would probably be in most locales next August, next September. So plenty of time.
Well, some of them are March, April, May, June. In South Carolina, it's June.
Okay, so it's different all over the place. I know in Tennessee the primaries are in August.
Some states have it as late as September, actually.
Well, still, all right, so it's different everywhere, but still, with it being November, time for people to plan. To plan as to whether or not they're able to run. How much money? There is going to have to be some amount of money spent on a winning campaign. There are some essentials you have to buy. How much money does it take to win, for instance, the hypothetical race we've been talking about tonight, State House of Representatives? How much money would you have to bring to the table in order to run an effective and efficient campaign?
Well, you know, money and sweat, they kind of go hand in hand. You can trade one for the other. If you're willing to work your behind off and reach out and go door to door in neighborhoods and talk to people and become involved, then it's going to take less money. A lot of problem is name recognition. The American voter is very lazy, and they'll go with a name they recognize, and they don't bother to do their homework because their life is too busy. But they don't realize the consequences. But that was yesterday. Today, more and more people, with America having a 10.2% unemployment rate, some counties having 20-something percent unemployment rate, people are finally realizing, hey, I got to do something here. You know, we have illegal aliens taking some of our jobs still up to today. Like you were talking earlier about Mount Airy, and I happen to know, it just so happened, ironically, that I happen to know the former mayor. He's not a city councilman. I checked that out. And of Mount Airy, but that was a sleepy town, a nice southern town, and now it's been invaded by illegal aliens. And so money wise, it can take you $50,000, but it can also take you $10,000. You're going to have to raise some money, but the thing is, don't go for the big bucks. Sometimes a $10, $5, $25, $50 donation is a vote. $1,000 donation, you know, may be an influence, but each state also has caps on donation. In South Carolina, it's $1,000 for local races, $3,500 for statewide races. And so you have to, you know, and then the federal government is a little different, but the federal election.
Ron, we are flat out of time. We're going to have to continue this, and I want to continue this. We're going to stay in touch. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.